welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Khaled Tafli. The U.S. spying scandal has deepened in scope and has spread in geography. The latest, the U.S. National Security Agency has spied on Germans, including Chancellor Angela Merkel. Add to that, French diplomats in Washington and at the U.N., not to mention Italy, Brazil, Mexico, and of course the U.S. itself, all based on leaks from former NSA contractor Edward Snowden through Glenn Greenwald, the outgoing Guardian journalist who is feeding the material from Brazil. In this debate, we'll discuss what the repercussions of this U.S. spying on its allies would be and try to get to the bottom of how vast the spying has been and whether the countries involved will do anything about it.
International uproar over the United States spy program is growing in proportion with the increasing number of appalling revelations. The U.S. has not denied eavesdropping on the cell phone of German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French politicians, emails of the leaders of Brazil and Mexico, and who knows who else.
France has been very shocked by these revelations. President Hollande made some outraged remarks, and they've demanded an explanation from Washington.
When the U.S. intelligence chief claimed the revelations from French newspaper Le Monde were inaccurate and misleading, Le Monde answered his vague protest by publishing the documents leaked to them by whistleblower Edward Snowden. There is no indication that American agencies are not still spying on hundreds of millions of people right now, leading to widespread comparisons with other notorious secret services, such as the Stasi of East Germany.
So much of the work was delegated to obscure agencies and the sinister private sector entities. What is needed is more democratic control of these obscure bodies.
Many in France believe that vast industrial espionage has likely taken place. From the possible theft of industrial designs to using insider information on investment opportunities, the U.S. may have profited while the French economy and its workers have suffered. The U.S. has cynically justified themselves by saying that all nations spy on each other, but many believe the NSA program is so vast that it violates international law. France and the U.S. have grown closer in recent years, but many here are saying that with friends like the U.S., who needs enemies? Ramin Mazahiri, Press TV, Paris.
Let's try to get to the bottom of this. Let me introduce our guest. Former CIA asset Susan Lindauer joins us from Washington, and we have senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Richard Weitz, who joins us from Washington. I'd like to welcome both of our guests. Susan Lindauer, let me first start with you. How vast and extensive is this NSA spying program?
It's been revealed that the NSA spied on 124 billion phone conversations throughout the world in a one-month period. Thus, it is enormous. It is beyond the scope of comprehension for ordinary citizens.
And Richard Weitz, the NSA spies.
And the implications are the.
Go ahead. Susan Lindauer, go ahead.
No, but the implications are vast because it is a Stasi program whereby the United States it applies to industrial espionage, but it also allows the United States to impose our laws on other countries on an extraterritorial basis. And we are hunting down citizens of foreign countries whose activities might very well be legal within their own country, but which violate our own U.S. policies. And then we are sabotaging them or even arresting them and extraditing them to the United States for prosecution. This goes well beyond terrorism cases. So it is something that ordinary citizens should be afraid of. It's not just the government elite that should be angry. This is affecting the whole society.
Exactly. We're trying to obviously get more of an explanation from you, Susan Lindauer, on some of the points you made there, including industrial espionage. But Richard Weitz, the latest victim, so to speak, has been Germany and its Chancellor Angela Merkel. And I'd like to get your reaction to what many are interpreting on what Jay Carney, the spokesperson, said, that the U.S. will never spy on Angela Merkel. deductions being made that, he didn't say that the U.S. had spied on her in the past. Could it be interpreted that the U.S. indeed had spied on her previously?
Yes, I think the language he used was, we will not and are not spying on her. It didn't exclude, had not in the past. So that could be read as saying, yes, we did in the past.
Susan Lindauer, you talked about industrial espionage, and I'd like to get your idea about what the NSA did, which is deemed to be illegal, and that is spying on banks and credit card transactions, the European SWIFT financial transaction network being tapped on different levels. I mean, isn't this, first of all, in violation of national laws and global regulations?
Well, the United States is trying to force all countries of the world to obey U.S. banking laws and to obey U.S. financial standards. And these are not necessarily reasonable demands. It's one thing if you're saying there should be a standard for all countries that the United States is adheres to. It's another thing if you're giving advantages to the United States, to U.S. corporations. And that tends to be what happens, is that trade practices benefit the United States. And to tie this back to Angela Merkel, we are spying on these people. We are spying on ambassadors. We're spying on senior diplomats. And we've been doing it for years. And I think that what is very interesting to me as a former CIA asset is I know very well that at the United Nations, where I was my old stomping ground, we frequently targeted Security Council members. This was very normal behavior for the past 10 years. I'd say even before 9/11, we were doing this. And we went after the ambassadors and the diplomats, and this was considered routine spying by the United States. But what has changed is the United States is no longer the dominant force of power that decides, that can dictate. The world is no longer tolerating our abuses the way that they always have in the past. And I think that that is the big change. That's the big shock to Washington, is that they are they're standing up to us really for the first time. But we've been doing this for years.
That's interesting that you put it in that.
We've been done this forever.
It's interesting, Richard Weiss, that Susan Lindauer puts it in that perspective. Do you agree with her in terms of the U.S. not having the global standing that it did, and perhaps one of the reasons being why we're seeing officials from different countries whom, as Susan Lindauer says, well, they were aware that U.S. does spy, but now they're standing up to the U.S.?
I think she's right in the effects. I think that this is definitely hurting the United States image. In particular, there was going to be a big challenge about Chinese cyber spying and so on, and now all that's collapsed in the face of the revelations that the U.S. is doing not the same thing, but different things, but are the same kind of use of internet and web-based information collection systems. A couple things I would disagree with her. I mean, she said they kept this information and then they give it to U.S. corporations. I don't think they do that, and I don't know how they could do that. Because, I mean, what they're probably doing is they're trying to understand what the bargaining positions will be at the G8, for example, over currency reform or IMF voting and so on. But specific activity, or if they want to catch a foreign corporation that's doing espionage, but if they had they discovered a chemical system that could make really good product, I don't know how they could just hand it off to a U.S. company, since there are several of them and they compete. So I think that's a question of. I think it's more economic espionage rather than industrial espionage.
Susan Lindauer, I'm really interested. You said that the U.N. is
I will give you that.
Go ahead.
Give you that, Mr. Weiss. That's a fair comment. However, I would tell you that if there is a defense contract, if there is something that is special for that would give another country an advantage in the market, the way the United States government could do it would be to contract with a private corporation secretly to develop a parallel plan to develop the same product and try to beat the other one to the market, or the Beltway bandits do this stuff all the time, mostly with defense contracts. But again, America's not producing as much as we were in the past. We're not a strong manufacturing base. So this is more banking controls, currency controls, and military, I would say. And with any sort of military application, the United States would absolutely hand it over to one of our own contractors and try to beat the foreigners. Yes, I would say.
Of course, there's a question.
But I think that the real challenge here right now is the international community, France, Germany, they are very angry and they're standing up to the United States for the first time, and that is the big change, because we've done this for years. This is not new. I mean, I'm very grateful that I am very proud of Edward Snowden, and I support him for telling the American people, and his disclosures are a tipping point. But it was pointed out that if he'd only watched CNN when he was in, 10 years ago when he was in high school, he would have saved himself the trouble, because all of this stuff was on 60 Minutes and was revealed by previous whistleblowers. So there's nothing new in what he has told, except that our world is now changed and people are ready to challenge, and they no longer feel obligated to submit to the United States. They no longer feel docile and patronized by the United States. This is a huge change, and it's from an intelligence standpoint, it's a little scary, I'll tell you. But it's good for the global democracy. It is. It's good for global communications,
right?
And for but the United States is slipping. It's definitely slipping, and this shows it more than anything that I think we've seen.
Well, a lot of stuff that's being revealed, Richard White's, a lot of people,
happy about the decline of the United States or not.
Well, it's not about the decline of the United States. It's about revealing the truth, and this is what it's doing, Susan Lindauer. It's revealing the truth in terms of the what they want to call surveillance, but really spying. And Richard White, Susan Lindauer, talked about how when she, the UN was her old stomping ground, that she went after the U.S. did spy on UN diplomats. Now, I'd like to get your reaction to this quote that I'm going to read off to you, this is what this particular person, U.S. official, has said. It helped me know the truth and reveal other countries' positions on sanctions, allowing us to keep one step ahead in the negotiations. This is coming from Susan Rice, the then U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Richard Weitz. It's about a document dated back in August 2010, suggests that document that intelligence stolen from foreign embassy computers ensured the U.S. knew ahead of time the position of other Security Council members before a U.N. vote for a resolution imposing new sanctions on Iran. Now, isn't this taking it a step further? Does it make it right? Is it right for the U.S. to have spied on other U.N. members?
I find that very plausible, actually. I would think that that's if we would want to have our intelligence agencies do is find out if there are any loopholes in U.N. sanctions, try and identify them and close them. And one way you could do that is through collecting information from foreign embassies. So I actually find that a very plausible use of what the U.S. intelligence collection is doing. And I think you our colleague is saying is correct. We've had these revelations before. I think we read about these U.N. spying at least a few years ago. I remember this came out, and there was a protest on the part of the UN. So, and I think she's right that partly it's just a different environment, that this is because of the revelations about Chinese spying and Russian spying, now have the US. Just a lot of people are getting fed up about this. But there's no easy solution, because any kind of agreement you would have not to do this, it would be hard to enforce, and to verification would be very difficult.
Well, there were so many comments. I'd like to take a quick time out from this debate and just take a listen to some of the comments. And we had some really good ones.
I'd like to add one thing.
Hold your thoughts. Hold your thoughts, Susan Lindauer. Let's take a listen to the comments, and then we'll come back to you. And these were some of them.
Merkel was quiet when we, 80 million Germans, were spied on. They told us there was nothing to be concerned about. Now that her phone was also tapped, she starts complaining. Quite poor, if you ask me. They should use German intelligence to fight US intelligence for the safety and privacy of 80 million citizens. But instead they are partners. Instead they create fear with state-sponsored terror to expand the activities. It's time to close down these criminal and non-transparent intelligence services. If not, at least use them to restore sovereignty. It's called Maoism, Stalinism, Nazism. It's called fascism. It's billionaires owning politicians, judges, military. It's called the Theme Park Democracy, Washington, D.C. Theme Park Democracy, London. Theme Park Democracy, Berlin and Paris. And Theme Park Democracy, Ottawa. There is no democracy. We're being spied on, stolen from, made to support the troops or fascists. It's called the banality of evil. We are the mediocre who jackboot into shopping and slave labor agreements. War crimes and war profiteering. And Goebbels' media pounding into our brains. 24/7, this is a wonderful democracy. Freedom, love, family, shopping, shopping, shopping.
Yeah, just some of the comments there on our Facebook page. Susan Lindauer, you had a comment before we took a break to listen to some of those comments. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And I would agree with your commenters. The real problem with this spying is that it is, it's not new, but the United States has been expanding its police state mentality. And we are seeing a shift here in the United States where freedom is considered more and more of a threat. It's still sort of a fringe idea. However, it's moving into the fore with frightening speed, and we are afraid of what is coming, that there will be some kind of clampdown. I can tell you that in May, I was visited by the Secret Service wanting to know if I had any guns, wanting to know, which I do not, wanting to know what organizations I belong to, what radio shows I listen to, because I do have a radio show of my own on Truth Frequency Radio. And I have now become a target because I'm so outspoken on many of these issues. And so I am now having to answer to the government for my own dissident viewpoints. That's why a police state is so frightening. And when the United States tries to apply its values extraterritorially, we do it in the name of anti-terrorism. But what we pull in, extends far beyond. It has nothing to do with violence. It's far more insidious than that. If you have a policy, if your actions could be entirely legal within your own country, but your actions contradict our policy objectives, then we're going to come after you. And I can tell you that that is happening more and more, and it's. The elite leaders really have an obligation to be angry on behalf of their citizens. Your commenter was absolutely correct that Merkel is a little bit disingenuous for her to say it's okay to spy on the German people, but don't spy on me.
Right.
It's got to be good for all of us.
Well, the problem I have with this is, Linda, and a lot of people, I think Richard Weitz actually think this, maybe you do too, is how can all this information, all this surveillance be actually consumed by whoever is interpreting it when it comes to a variety of issues, but at the same time have certain things fall through the, through the cracks. I could talk about the Boston bombing. I could talk about how the U.S. President Obama.
Well, we have evidence.
But the U.S. President Obama, he was angry when he was that the IRS singled out conservative groups for extra vetting. You do remember that scandal. I could talk about the Benghazi incidents. I mean, you know, then how is it that these incidents have fallen through the cracks?
We have even the best example, of course, is the September 2001 attack, September 11th. They had all the evidence, and you know, FBI had some, CIA had some. They had intercepts. They could have figured out the plot, but there was a lot of material. They collected so much; it hadn't been read yet. It hadn't been translated. Some people knew some things, some people knew others, but nobody saw the whole picture. So we have a very good example of that. That if you overdo it, if you declare everything a secret, or you try and collect everything, you're not going to focus on what's important. And at least in principle, when it came into office, the Obama administration was trying to move that a bit, trying to make closely protect the most sensitive information, but make the other information less classified. And they're doing the same things with arms exports. But then they got hit by WikiLeaks, and now Snowden, and so that whole effort has been disrupted. So now I think they're just basically classifying everything again.
I was counting the number of times you wanted to react there, Susan Lindauer. Go ahead.
Yeah, truth has become treason. Truth has become treason in Washington. The more degraded the United States economy becomes, the more we are falling in global standing, the more of a threat, the more free speech and dissension, ordinary dissension, threatens the power elite. And they are now, in the opinions of many Americans, the power elite are classifying all sorts of things that should be disclosed to the public so that they can protect their power and they can protect their control over society, and they do not want any accountability to the people. I think I should tell you at this point that I'm one of the people who gave advance warnings about 9/11, and I personally contacted the office of Attorney General John Ashcroft and the Office of Counterterrorism in August of 2001. We could have stopped that attack. A decision was made at the highest levels not to do so, and that is the problem. You're correct, we're being inundated with information, but there is always an ulterior agenda, and if something is being allowed to happen, the Boston Marathon bombing, I am not convinced that we did not know about that attack beforehand. I think that our government is afraid of us. Our government is very afraid of the people, and that is a very dangerous government. And I think that in the next few weeks, if there's an economic collapse, a lot of us are afraid of what's going to happen within the United States. And it may be that the rest of the world will be looking back on this as, you know, the calm before the storm, before all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. And when it does, it will be, you know, I am afraid of what will happen to the American people like me, who are honest dissidents who support nonviolence.
I'd like to get a 30-second response to Susan Lindauer. I apologize. Richard Weiss, 30-second response from you. Do you think that Russia has anything to do with some of these leaks? It is said Glenn Greenwald is the one that's doing this, feeding it from Brazil, but some are deducting that maybe Russia has collected that information through the leaks that Edward Snowden has given, and they're the ones responsible for some of these leaks coming out.
The thesis I had heard was actually he's a Chinese agent, and then he's a red herring. In other words, the Chinese have someone even more valuable in U.S. intelligence, and the U.S. is getting wise to these leaks, so he gets all the attention, he gets exposed, but the real agent is still there. We have an example of this from the Soviet period. But you know, who knows? I mean, right? Who knows whether he's a Russian agent, a U.S. agent, or just a disgruntled? It could maybe, you know, as they said, a whistleblower. Or what I think is most plausible is he just didn't quite know the repercussions of what he was doing initially, and it sort of snowballed from there. But we just don't know. I mean, this is so complicated, and it's so many games being played, which I and you and Suzanne, we just would see the surface manifestations of this.
Very well. And in 20 seconds, Susan Lindauer, your final comments.
I think that Edward Snowden believed that he was doing something very good for the world and believed that he was defending freedom. I think that we, his revelations are not new, but it's a tipping point for our society. And it really shows the United States is falling in the world's estimation. And the United States is more vulnerable than it's ever been in the past. And as we go down, I feel very sad because I love this country. And I realize that I'm talking to a foreign audience, and you don't have the same feelings that I do for my country. But I want America to be strong and good. And I think that we've lost something. And I don't know how we're going to get it back.
Very well, I'm going to have to leave it there. Former CIA asset Susan Lindauer making her comments there from Washington. Thank you very much, Richard Weiss. He's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute who spoke to us from Washington also. Thank you so much for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikko Vatapai and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.